You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Colt Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. Make sure to check out the Locked On Wolves fan rig website for Adam King's written articles, as well as the Locked On Colt Molesky, that's me, my Twitter account, at C Molesky, that's at C Molesky, M-O-L-E-S-K-Y. Both those places you'll find prior podcasts. Also on my Twitter account, I post stories that I've written for various sites. Go check it out if you want to. Also posting updates and things like that on about the podcast, about basketball games, all kinds of stuff. Go ahead and check that out. If nothing else, you'll get updates on the latest podcast. Make sure to check out that and the fan rake site. Keep updated on Timberwolves content. Usually, I would try to transition into more Timberwolves-based stuff. We'll be doing that throughout the week. We got plenty of talk about prospects as well as the offseason for the Timberwolves, what they're going to do about this cap situation, all that good stuff. But today we need to dedicate some time to the NBA Finals. The fourth meeting in the Finals that features both the Cavaliers and the Warriors is underway, two games in. Unless you've been buried under a rock the last weekend, then you know that the Cavaliers are down 2-0 in the series. The Golden State Warriors winning both games in Oakland. The first one in overtime, 124-114 win over the Cavaliers. The second one, a 122-103 victory in big and convincing fashion over the Cavs. LeBron James with a 51-point game one, not able to supersede the mistakes by George Hill and Jarrett Smith at the end of the game to force overtime, 17-7 overtime over. For the Warriors, put that one away, and then Curry setting a record-breaking 9 three-pointers in a finals game in game two was enough to undo the Cavaliers and a broken roster in game two. Now they head back to Cleveland. So we're going to be talking about the finals, got some finals conversation. This will probably be, I might do one next week, series permitting, hopefully it goes that long, but next week, probably do another full podcast, but as far as the rest of this week is concerned, I'm going to be doing a lot of Timberwolves talk, doing a lot of Timberwolves offseason stuff, draft stuff. So as far as the rest of the week is concerned, I'm going to try and avoid a full NBA Finals podcast and really try and get back into Timberwolves talk for the rest of the week. So this is my one full NBA Finals podcast for the week after just a full weekend of action. So I'm going to have five takeaways from the week. The weekend of the finals. Five takeaways. I'm not going to talk about J.R. Smith. That has been talked to at great length. I would just like to put in my... Or actually, I'll save that. But I'm not going to talk a ton about J.R. Smith. I'm not going to talk about how this is another matchup. I'm not going to talk about why you should be interested in this matchup. Already covered that with Aligo Carter. This will have stuff from both games. Because Game 1 happened when I was away for the weekend. Like I said, with those episodes with Aligo Carter, record both of those on Thursday. So those were kind of our predictions for the series, how we thought the series would go, looking at specific aspects of both teams headed into the series. So that was all happened before Game 1. So I wanted to take a look at Game 1 and Game 2 of the finals series that is well underway. These are my five takeaways. Five takeaways. I narrowed it down to five. That's right, folks. Takeaways from the opening two games of the series. And again, this series is going back to Cleveland. If you're going to steal a game, it is game three that you must steal if you're Cleveland. They almost stole game one. I don't want to pat myself on the back too much, but I was correct. LeBron James came out. He was looking to punch the Warriors in the mouth in that game one. Wasn't able to get past them, but it was a great game. Game two was much tighter. And you saw the results of that in the blowout 19-point win for the Warriors. So, without further ado, these are my five takeaways. So, number five, George Hill is as much to blame as J.R. Smith. And it is a proper way to give you what you should expect from this supporting cast for the Cavaliers. Again, there was a lot there. So I'm going to say my fifth point over again. George Hill was as much to blame as J.R. Smith for blowing that game, and it is a proper prognostication of what you should expect from the supporting cast of the Cavaliers. So if you're looking at the stats, first of all, George Hill was an 81% free throw shooter in the regular season. You should have knocked down both of those. Hit your damn three free throws, okay? It's a huge game, one of the biggest games of your career. I know that the pressure's on you, but you're a professional athlete, and this is what you're paid to do, is perform in these tight spots. So go out, hit your free throws, hit both of them, you win the game. And, I mean, it's incredibly hard, incredibly hard for the Warriors to score in that spot with only 4 seconds left. Not impossible, but incredibly hard. You basically have won the game, and if you don't win the game, then it's one of those crazy threes that you lift up your hands and say, what are you supposed to do about that? So hit your free throws, and the game's over. Just as much J.R.'s fault that they lost that game as George Hill's. But the larger point I'm trying to make here is look at the supporting cast around LeBron James. So he has 51 points in the first game, 21 from Love. That's a theme here. Love is going to have a pretty good series, I feel, against the Warriors. But 21 and 13 from Love. And then you have 2 from Thompson, 10 from J.R. Smith, 7 from Hill and Green. You got 4 from Clarkson, 3 from Kyle Korver, 9 from Larry Nance. These are not great numbers. I mean, J.R. Smith, 10, that's okay, but you want him to be rising up to a different level, to another, that extra level of J.R. Smithness that not only doesn't know what the score is with 4 seconds left, but also shoots 13 times for three-point range and knocks down close to 40% of them. And he's taking ill-advised shots. He's taking open shots. He's shooting them all, but he's knocking down a bunch of threes. You want both versions of J.R. Smith, not just the one that is drinking Hennessy before a game and is not remembering what the score is 4 seconds left in a game. So that is a bummer. You got the Kyle Korver that is only taking three threes. You got him only with 3 points. You need him to be the Kyle Korver that's knocking down jumpers from the corner, knocking down deep three-pointers off the elbow. You need the George Hill that's going to facilitate more than one assist. But it's not just that wasn't just the game one performance. You see this in game two as well, the supporting cast letting down LeBron James the other night in the 122-103 loss. You had the LeBron James 29-point game, almost had the triple-double, 13 assists, 9 rebounds, but you also had the 22 points from Love, and then nothing else really from the supporting cast. Tristan Thompson with 11, he had some okay spots, not a great game. 15 points, only 3 assists from George Hill, so he knocked down a few more points, but he's not facilitating an offense around him. Jeff Green with 6, you had Kyle Korver with 1 point. These are not J.R. Smith with 5. These are not the numbers you can expect from a supporting cast that is beating the Warriors or winning any of these games. This is a supporting cast that's going to get trounced, and you saw it the other night against the Warriors. The second thing that I took away, Durant has found a really nice rhythm in these finals. Durant has found a really nice rhythm is my fourth takeaway from the first two games. In both of these games, he's averaging close to, he had 7 assists and 9 rebounds in game one, and he had right near those numbers in game two for rebounds and assists. He's taken those 18-foot jumpers, adding a mid-range level that you usually only see from consistently from a guy like Livingston for this team. I like the role that Durant is playing here. He was uber efficient. He wasn't very efficient in the first game. He was uber efficient, shooting 71% in the second game. You're not going to see him. I'm going to make a bold prediction right now. I don't think you're going to see him drop 40 points in any of these games. I don't think you're going to see him drop 40 points in any of these games. But you will see him hover right around that 8-8 mark for rebounds and assists, and you're going to have him knocking down 20 to 26 points worth of shots in these games, because he's going to play really efficient basketball and he's going to facilitate a lot. He's going to help in that Draymond Green role where he's doing a lot of little things that really open up the floor for Curry and Thompson. I really like the role that Durant is playing, and I think it's a lot different than the playoffs Durant that you've seen in the past. Next thing. Actually, let's go to some sponsors. So we're going to go to some sponsors, and then I'll get to my last three things from the first two games of the finals. But first, some sponsors. Going over the top five things that I have taken from the first two finals games. Obviously, the ones that happened over the weekend. If you didn't see, the Warriors are up 2-0 in the finals right now. I had the first of the five takeaways. I had the first two before the break. I have my last three after the break. My next takeaway: LeBron James is going to drag this roster to a Game 3 win. LeBron James is going to drag this roster to a Game 3 win. He is doing some phenomenal things for the Cavaliers. He's posting some phenomenal numbers. He's basically carrying this raggedy-ass roster. He carried them to the finals. Now he's not going to let this slip away. LeBron James isn't going to get swept. In Game 3, he's going to help this roster elevate. He's going to do whatever he has to do in the locker room to get these guys jazzed up. He's going to hit them again. 13 assists in Game 2. He should have had like 17 or 18 if some other players are knocking down shots. But he's going to get Kyle Korver going. He's going to get J.R. Smith going. He's going to open up the floor for George Hill to drive to the basket. He's going to open up a lot of things for his teammates. I think Kevin Love is going to continue to be solid. He's been really aggressive on the glass, especially offensively. Offensive boards four. But LeBron James isn't going to get swept. He's going to have like a 45-point night. And he's going to open up some stuff. He's going to end up with probably 15 assists in this Game 3 as well. But he's going to open up enough things to actually knock off the Warriors back in Game 3. Obviously, this is the one where if you're going to steal a game and you're the significantly less talented team as Cleveland is, and you're going to steal a game, this is usually statistically the Game 3 is usually the one that teams tend to steal. So the Cavaliers are not going to get swept. LeBron is going to be good enough to win at least one game, and that game is going to be Game 3. Expect a Game 3 win for the Cavaliers. Second thing, really love the play calling of the Cavaliers, simple play calling, really love it. The thing I wanted to really point out with this point is I already talked about Durant and kind of the role he's taken. You see what you saw 2 years ago from Draymond Green in the playoffs before Durant joined the next year is how he kind of took on that role of in the finals. You saw in the playoffs earlier in the finals. He has these games where he really goes into full point guard mode. He's grabbing rebounds. He's being big defensively. But then he grabs a lot of assists. Doesn't really need to do too much scoring. He's just working on opening up the three-point game and the scoring for Curry and Thompson to open up the floor. Not to say that Curry, you saw yesterday with his eight assists, not to say that he's not playmaking, but Draymond Green goes into full kind of basketball IQ mode where he's going to open up a bunch of stuff. You saw the other night, seven assists, eight rebounds. I suspect more games like that where he's not doing a bunch of scoring, but he's going to do a bunch of things off ball or playmaking wise that open up the stuff for the Warriors. Play calling like that where you have Draymond Green in that kind of role is really great. The other thing that I've really loved that the Warriors have done that I wanted to talk about especially was the pass and dash three-pointers. That especially, you see this a lot from Curry, but Thompson has done it. Durant can do it, where you do the mock drive. You're not really driving to basket, but you get in towards the paint, pass it out, streak to the corner, and have a catch-and-shoot three. Curry hit a couple of these. He hit, I believe it was three of these the other night. Don't quote me on that, but three of those the other night. Huge, huge disruptor for a perimeter defense for the Cavs that wasn't great to begin with. But now you have guys coming off screens. You have to worry about guys like JaVale McGee doing those cuts to the basket off of a mock screen. And now you have to worry about a guy like Curry coming to the rim. Usually he's beating guys that are defending him like a J.R. Smith. If he beats J.R. Smith off the dribble and then passes it out instead of going for the layup, you know you're in trouble because now he's going to dash. You've had the defense collapse on a little bit to try and compensate for that J.R. Smith lack of defense and losing Curry. Now you got Curry streaking back out to the perimeter. A weak perimeter defense in the Cavaliers that was all you're going to struggle is now pushed over the edge. You're going to see that a lot more from the Warriors throughout the rest of this series. It's a wrinkle that I just don't think the Cavaliers have the defenders to make an answer for. And so I think you're going to see a vast majority of the three-point shots that Clay, that Curry, even Durant, those guys are going to make. You're going to see it off of stuff like that. It's a nice little move that's the Cavaliers, again, I don't think they have an answer for it. I don't think they have an answer for it. The final thing, the takeaway over the weekend of finals basketball from Thursday to Sunday is this is Curry's MVP to lose. This is Curry's MVP to lose. You saw a lot of headlines going into this series talking about how Curry, this was the time for him to get that finals MVP that has been so elusive over the last 4 years. This is the time for you have Durant kind of sitting back a little bit from what he did last year, taking a little bit of a backseat role to Curry. You've seen it so much. I would disagree with Aliko Carter when I asked him if he thought that Curry would be 100%. He wasn't sure about that, but I'm fully confident in saying that I think Curry is back to MVP, regular MVP level form, and now it's going to show by so much of the offense going to him, opening up what and trying to get him his shots. Obviously setting the record for 9 made NBA or finals threes the other night shows that, but you just see him attacking this Cavaliers defense with a vim and a vigor that I don't think you saw the other year when he was kind of letting Durant steal the show last year. Now this year you see him really gunning for that finals MVP, and maybe that's even the wrong way to say it, but you see him gunning to show that he is the best player. He wants to be the best player on the court. When you talk about guys being friendly in NBA circles and across team friends, that's not the case for LeBron and Curry. You saw that with the scuffle that they had words-wise the other night. These two guys, I don't really think these two guys like each other, and I think that shows when Curry's playing LeBron in the finals because he's out there to prove that he is the best guy on the court in these games, and you see that when he's really cutting up the Cavaliers' defense. As a result of that, I see him this is his finals MVP performance, and you're going to continue to see amazing performances like you saw from Curry the other night throughout the rest of those finals because that's what he's gunning for. That's what he wants. He wants to be the best guy on the court, and he's going to prove it by getting this finals MVP. So those are my 5 takeaways from 2 finals games. I'll continue to talk about the finals, but again, not going to have a show dedicated just to the finals for a while like this one was. Hope you guys enjoyed it, and thank you so much for tuning in to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.